one.
Welcome to the main event. Today, we witness the most anticipated fight in ESPN 1000 history. Are you ready, Chicago? I asked, are you ready? Are you ready to take that?
What does that mean?
In one corner, weighing in at 175 pounds, standing 5 feet and 7 inches tall.
Right?
He's the Southpaw from Skokie.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
The Skokie Kid.
Waddle's doesn't smell.
Waddle's caddy.
Put it in your mouth.
Mark with a C, Silverman, a.k.a. Sylvie.
You're just a mean guy.
And in that corner.
Take that.
67 inches tall, packed with 208 pounds. A one-time scout and college basketball assistant coach. The man that discovered Dirk Nowitzki. And single-handedly prevented the Bulls from trading Scottie Pippen to the Seattle Supersonics.
One of those incidents where I wish it never happened.
He's Mindy's boy. Joe Girardi's friend is Cap. Here we go. Cap versus Sylvie. Sylvie versus Cap. Let's have a fair fight, gentlemen. No low blows, unless it's to the balls.
Balls.
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Let's go.
Welcome into ESPN 1000. That's Sylvie. I'm Cap. All right, this is what they wanted. Let's have some fun.
Well, first of all, I think I literally took it on the chin the most, I think, there. With a waddle line. Put it in my mouth. What did he say there?
Put it in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth?
I think you said Waddle's what doesn't smell, Sylvie?
Oh, his poop doesn't smell. Did you know that about Waddle?
I thought we were talking about something else.
His poop. And I've got some issues, too, going on right now. When you wake up at 4:45 to do this show, poop schedule's off. So I haven't pooped yet today.
You would love this time slot.
I know, but when you're used to waking up now, this is when I would usually wake up for the kids, and the kids get ready for the bus. But when you wake up at 4:45 and you're used to the routine, right when you get up, you have to go. Wasn't ready to go. So I'm all out of sorts right now. And, we'll see if I poop on the air.
Time did you go to bed?
Normal time. I've learned through all the years, through the radio wars, that when you do the one fill-in show in the morning, that if you rush to go to bed, you're just going to get a worse sleep. So I watched all the games. Not that any game was good except the Cubs result. But and then I went to bed. We went to bed at about 11.
Oh, God. I'm long gone.
Yeah, almost 6 hours. And I slept pretty well.
Yeah, I was long gone. I do have to do my recaps. I literally. All right, fifth inning, 16-3. I'm out.
Now, what do you mean you have? This is what I want to know. You have to do the recaps. So are they like, this is your new YouTube channel that
right,
you've
but
got
I was
going.
Doing them on Twitter anyway. So I moved it all over to YouTube. It's just a cleaner, easier format.
And I heard you say on the show the other day that are you now theme dressing for the show? Like you're wearing blue for the Cubs and you're wearing black for the White Sox?
Not necessarily those colors.
But you're doing wardrobe changes during your YouTube shows.
I won't do the same recap in the same shirt. So yesterday, for example, I shot it in my kitchen. I'll shoot in different locations.
You shot it in your kitchen? Whoa.
I'll shoot it in different locations.
It's like those commercials directed on iPhone.
So, you know, I'll do it in the basement where I got my jerseys. I'll do it in my office. I'll do it, you know, if I'm up at the lake, I'll do it in the, yesterday was in the kitchen. So I brought down the one shirt I had on, I left on, and I did the Cubs recap because that game had ended. And then I put on a No Shot Sparkles t-shirt. Because it was black and white and did that for the Sox.
What do you think that someone would say, oh my gosh, Cap just did his recap. He's wearing the same clothes for the White Sox recap.
Well, if you look at the page where, like, my YouTube page is, I don't want you to think it's the same video when you look at the shirt and go, I already saw that one.
Do you think that we're thinking that deeply as we're going for the recaps?
Maybe. I just want to make sure I get as many clicks.
He's doing wardrobe change. This is like Madonna over here.
I wonder what shirt Cap's going to wear today.
No, it's not that. It's like if you look at the page, you go, I already
this is
saw
what
that.
I love about you. And I do mean love. And like this is the quirky nature of Cap.
Right.
That I absolutely love.
I'm the guy that gets his car washed every day.
Changing shirts
to do the recaps. 100%.
Will you get your car washed today in the rain?
No. If the rain clears because I have to go up north for a sales meeting, yes, I will zoom over to Waterway and get it done. But I'm sure it's probably closed today. Probably.
Do they close the car washes during rain delays?
Yes,
or usually. During rains?
If it's
they shut it down.
If it's an all day rain, like they know it's going to rain, they shut.
They
it
go
down.
Home.
Yeah.
All right.
They tell the crew you're out.
So what are we going to Shea started the meeting by saying, "What's the lead today?" And the lead today is
that we're together.
Yeah,
spring, the two of you. Yeah,
the two. And Cap was asking, "When's the last time we ever done a show?" And yes, we've done. First of all, we should do this more. You haven't wanted to do the show. We should do a podcast.
When I embrace that idea.
Where we call emergency podcasts, whether I call you out, I have an issue with one of your opinions, you have an issue with me calling you out or one of my opinions, and we say, Sylvie, we got to do an emergency podcast. We got to work this out about the Cubs. We got to work this out about the Bulls. Let's do it and then put it up on the ESPN Chicago app and let's go at it and then people can consume it instead of going back and forth every day.
So I'm in. And we what did
now,
we say?
Are you really in?
I'm in.
Okay, you heard that.
Shay, did I not say on the air the other day it's a great idea?
Yesterday, you said that the podcast would be great. I think he texted you, didn't he?
The only text I got was about riding in with him.
Oh, right. That was never going to happen. But we got to figure out. Happen. I'll produce it. I'm happy to. Yeah, doing a podcast, the two of you, emergency podcast, would be excellent.
But I did say on the air, yes, I'm in for the podcast, and we'll call it Take That. No, F you.
That's Waddle came up with, and then there's the popular song going around right now. It's been out for a while. A, B, C, D, E, F, U. That should be the theme song. And it should be F U, no F U.
Take that.
Why do you have to include Take That? This is a co-production.
Right. You're saying F U to me, so and I said F U, take that.
Hashtag take that.
Exactly.
So three, and so that's the lead.
I agree.
Like anything you want to talk about, I think we should just, first of all four of us should talk, but you should, anyone who's got any questions for us, or any stories you want to hear, 312-332-3776.
I think people realize when I was working at this signal, it wasn't ESPN 1000 yet, and I left in March of 95 and went to WGN Radio, where you were already there as a producer.
As an intern, really.
Intern.
You came over, and Cap, this is a true story, speaking about getting rides. That Cap, bless his heart, and I always talk about this, that you've got a great heart, you just have bad sports opions. No offense.
Hey, bring him on.
And every day when, I got $900 for 3 months. It was a paid internship, which is pretty good for an internship.
Right.
Guaranteed 3 months. That's it. $900 for three total months. And Cap would stop by at 9420 Leamington in Skokie.
Yep.
And he would pick me up back in the day in his Nissan Pathfinder.
Yep.
And he would give me rides to work every day. And wherever we went. We went to Platteville, Wisconsin one time to cover the Bears, the two of us together. He picked me up and he drove me to Platteville, Wisconsin. And this goes back, this relationship, since 1995, and quirks at all, and I'm super quirky
years.
As all,
right?
As well, that yes, this is the two of us.
Uh-huh.
It's the
both
two
from
of
Skokie.
Us. Yes, now's east and now's north.
Right,
the mean streets of Skokie.
Yep,
that was the name of our AAU team, right? Mean Streets.
Mean Streets, exactly. Take that, Ty Streets. And then he and I went to Salt Lake City together to cover the Bulls championship.
There.
Yeah, some old man beer.
Yeah.
Remember we had to buy passes to be able to drink on a Sunday because the Bulls weren't playing that day?
There were, you had to buy passes to go to bars.
Right, you had to
memberships,
register.
Yes.
You had to register to drink on a Sunday there because it's a Mormon town.
So yeah, road trips for your basketball thing where we went to when you used to, you did, whenever you would do the high school.
Yeah, the city suburban showdown.
Didn't one year we do one in Rockford or something like that?
We did Rockford and we did Rock Island.
See, this is how far the relationship goes back.
Right.
But through all the years of knowing each other, just like a brother, you're going to get into some arguments and tiffs and things like that.
Correct. And so then
slap fights.
We worked together. I told this story yesterday. We won an AIR award for best coverage of a live sporting event. It's called an Achievement Radio Award when the Cubs beat the Giants, I believe, in the wild card game. And then you left and came here.
My last thing that I covered at GN with you was the next series against the Atlanta Braves.
Correct.
For your pregame show, I did an interview with Tom Glavine.
Uh-huh.
Sitting on the bench in on the first base line at Wrigley Field.
Oh, was it Wrigley?
Here, game 3.
Game 3.
It was before the game, and you mentioned this recently. That was the game where Woody was probably hurt anyway.
Went 5 innings.
And he gutted it out, and he pitched really well. But they were not winning a game against the Braves that year, and they got swept.
Correct.
And then I came here. And I've been here since. It's going to be 24 years in October.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so I stayed at GN till September of 2015, came back here, and then I started 12 to 2 and then moved 9 to noon, and now here I am in the morning.
There you go. So 332-3776. Anything you want to hear. Like, put the quarter in. Old reference, Shay. There used to be these things called the jukebox. I know now you got...
I know what a jukebox is.
Well,
I'm not quite as out of touch as Tyler. Tyler didn't know what Pulp Fiction was.
Oh, what did Tyler do this morning? Jeez.
Already in the first segment, the first guy to get ripped is Tyler.
Well, here, I was in the meeting this morning, and JR's like, you should hear what this young guy asked me. He didn't know what this band was called. Come on.
Can you get that song from that commercial, please? Yeah, that's always fun.
So, yeah, put a quarter in. Request a song.
I'll hit you with your first request. We already had one caller weigh in. He couldn't stay on. He was at work. But he wanted to put in a request for you two to talk Jay Cutler.
Oh, good. You want to do that next?
Sure. Absolutely. Bring it on.
Now, is this current Jay Cutler? Is this...
If you want current Jay Cutler, you can go for it. But this guy wanted to hear about quarterback Jay Cutler.
You better not want him as your neighbor, I'll tell you that. 312-332-3776. He's Sylvie, I'm Cap. Put a quarter in, as Sylvie just said. Put a quarter in, we go back to 1995. And yes, we have differing sports opinions. We'll be right back.
We finally determine who is Chicago's best fan, Cap or Sylvie. It'll be settled by 10 a.m. only on ESPN 1000.
I got to get used to this microphone here. That's twice on me, isn't it? That I turned on the wrong mic.
Yeah, we usually
fine.
When Cap was over there too, he was doing it.
You told RJ Curcio that you're driving. You drive. I could do shotgun. I could work the radio.
Oh, I just said we'll both drive.
I'll look at the sights and tell you to, hey, look over here. Look, you know, every now and then you look down, you know, you're looking down and I got to say, hey, Cap, something right in front of us there.
Do you know I've never opened Twitch?
Why not? I just checked in now.
Hoodie banned me from opening it.
Well, you'd get distracted.
That's a good reason, yeah.
He said, dude, you got Twitter. That's enough.
I want you to put Twitter down today, too.
Yeah, I don't really.
Yeah, no
let's
shot.
Just talk.
Do a lot with Twitter in the mornings. I don't tweet as much.
He's trying to sell us that, but he's doing wardrobe changes for the recap.
Right, yeah, no. Twitter is like in his hand at break within the first 5 seconds. No question.
And Jordan Sherwood texted us. One of our great teammates saying that you were showing off the guns. Did you go sleeveless too in a wardrobe change?
One of them.
Look at
you. The first one I was wearing sleeveless. Dude, I got a lot of tats. I like them.
That one is something there.
How about that?
That one, the palm trees and the color on that, right on the bicep.
How about that one? I just got that one.
When did you become a tattoo guy?
So, like three years ago, at least. It was a Saturday morning. It was rainy, sleeting. It was late January, pre-pandemic. And my wife and I were at breakfast. We had stayed downtown the night before. Yeah, we stayed downtown. We went to this workout class that a buddy of mine puts on. And then we went to Yoke. We're done. It's like 10:30. And she's like, well, we got all day. There's no kids at home. Because you have kids at home. Mine are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? And I'm thinking, I go, I got a great idea. What? Let's go get tattoos. She said, what? You?
You had that idea.
Yeah. It's my idea. So, full disclosure, my oldest son, Nicholas, when my kids went off to college, I had a little family meeting when he went. He was the oldest. Please conduct yourself with class. Have fun. Enjoy college. I certainly did. You come back with a tattoo, you're out of the will.
You said this.
Yes.
Well, this isn't surprising either. This is all part of the thing. Right. Why I bust your balls.
Think about
this
is flipping.
You're out of the will if you ever get a tattoo. Hey, look at me and look at my palm tree tattoos now.
Right.
Look at me going sleeveless for the recap and showing off my tattoos.
Right. So they're like, yeah, okay. So Brett, Garrett, Alex have no tattoos. Nick, the oldest, free spirit, he goes off to college. He gets a tattoo right here on his rib cage. And it says, I'm me. I know nothing about it. He's at home. I'm at work. And I get a call from my wife. Nick's been in an accident in Thorngate where we live. His car was in our garage. You know my driveway. You've been to my house. The driveway's a little slope, not big, but
sure,
it's a little downhill. His car wouldn't start. He decides.
Oh, I heard this about the fire.
He pushes the car out of the garage.
This is ridiculous.
With the 34 ACT and the straight A's, it starts rolling down the driveway. He runs behind it to think he could stop it, and it crushes his leg between the fire hydrant and the bumper. Ambulance, the whole deal, they take him. My wife calls. You got to come to the hospital. Nick's in bad shape. He's got a compound fracture of his leg. I get to the hospital. They are cutting his clothes off. There's blood. They cut the shirt off, and I see the tattoo. And the first thing I say is, not Nick, are you okay? A tattoo?
You're out of the will. Take that.
What the? And I go off. So now, he's 32. He was 18. 14 years later, here we are. Mindy and I go get tattoos. And I get a little one up on my shoulder. I'm like, people are like, it's addicting. I'm like, nah, that'll be the only one. It says live life all in right here. It's addicting. I got six.
See, and are you out of your own will? Are you giving all the money to Nick now?
No, I have evolved.
Evolved. I love the Cap has completely
flipped.
This is what I love about you. It's like when you do flip. No, see, he's going to get pissed. I did not call for that.
You can play it. I don't care. He's on my board. It's right here.
He dials it up with the term evolve. You know, the contradiction is now evolve. I love it, though. That's right. That's why we love you, though.
So I have six tattoos.
All right. So Cuddy, what do they want to ask about Cuddy? What were they asking about vacation, Cuddy? Were they talking about Bears tenure?
Quarterback Jay Cutler.
He sucked.
See, again, you violated your rule. Where's that rule? See, you just said six shows ago on this station that you in a rant. You said no fan should ever say that a player sucks. You said this. And then you said Byron Leftwich sucked. And then yesterday you said Nick Foles sucks.
Nick Foles sucks. And let's just be fair and honest here.
And then right now,
he sucks.
The first thing about the leading passer in Bears history that you utter is he sucks. Is that evolving or is that contradicting from six shows ago?
That is like calling Ike Turner Husband of the Year.
Whoa, whoa.
It's a really low bar. If you're the best quarterback in Bears history, that ain't a real badge of courage.
But you just told us you shouldn't say anything and you shouldn't say anybody sucks.
I said that people who get to the pros, I don't care if you're the last guy on the roster, pretty special athlete to get.
That they should never say he sucks. You said it gets under my skin. Get the quote out, J.R.
No, that guy sucked as an NFL quarterback.
That was the
Leftwich. He was horrible as an NFL quarterback.
Do you have the basis of his argument, the original one? Meller had it in the system. Where this was your rant. Like, you got pissed last week. Last week. Not 5 years ago. Last week.
Right. It annoys me when people who have never played or done anything, that guy sucks.
Well, we haven't done anything. What have we done?
I think we bring a more informed opinion. I do.
Do you have it, JR? Have you found it?
I'm still digging for it.
I guess I let Jay Cutler.
Jay and Nick and Byron.
I guess I let Jay get under my skin more because I think he's a jackass as a person.
All right. He can be a little standoffish if you don't know him.
A little?
Let me tell you a story. Jay, so one of my good friends, Brian, his son was just diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And Brian was in a bad place. It's tough to get that. Well, his son is 5 years old.
That's
five
a tough
or six.
Diagnosis.
It's tough. And his son is doing great, but he's a mess and his wife's a mess. And so I texted Jay, this was 6 months ago, and I said, Jay, you don't know this guy. My buddy could use a pep talk. Mm-hmm. Do you have time for him?
Did he say don't care?
He did not text don't care. He was in Jamaica with his family, and he said, I'm on vacation. What time? Conference me in, and we'll make it work. I said, noon. How's noon? So noon, there's Jay on vacation. I conferenced him in. My friend, who he doesn't know from Adam, is breaking down, and he's crying on the phone. And Jay is telling him on how he will get over this. His son will be better, not better for it, but will learn better eating habits. And in the long run, a lot of people who deal with diabetes know their bodies best. And he picked him up off the floor, didn't know this guy for anyone. Mm-hmm. And these are the things, I've never told that story. Like, these are the types of things that Jay doesn't share.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know him, you know of the good stories. Now, what he was doing on vacation, I don't know. I take the L myself because I was the one on the air who told him that I would get him a date on Match, and I was supposed to run his account and get him married again. And because I didn't do my job and get him a date, I think that's why this whole thing happened. So blame me, not Jay.
Right. There's a story you can Google with sorted details.
No, it's tabloid stuff. Don't know if it's true or not.
Right.
But
he hasn't responded to your guys' text messages, correct?
Well, and that was before everything. We had wondered, what did we do wrong? We have not gotten a text on his birthday. He was on the vacation on his birthday.
Allegedly.
Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Allegedly having an affair with his friend's wife on the trip.
No, again, tabloid stuff.
Allegedly.
I don't know if I believe the tabloids.
Want to go camping?
Was that me? Want to go camping?
Man, you don't suck joke. If you make the big leagues.
Here it is.
You may play sucky in the big leagues,
yeah,
but there's a difference. Okay. To get to the big leagues, like, that's one of the things that drive me crazy.
Drives
about
you crazy.
Fans that say, that guy sucks. He actually doesn't. He's in the pros.
Yeah.
You got to be amazing to get to the pros.
You drive yourself crazy.
Nick Foles sucks. Probably right. Let's just be fair and honest here.
First thing you said about Jay was he sucks.
Okay. Jay was the most overhyped, overrated quarterback we have ever had in this town. Like, when Mitch got here and I embraced him and I was wrong, when he got here, three quarters of the fan base was pissed anyway. Like, he wasn't sold that he was going to be Tom Brady. I remember listening to this radio station. I didn't work here then. The day Jay was acquired, the Messiah has arrived.
Yes.
And I did not buy into it then.
Happy Jay Cutler Day. It was coined on our show. And I had 5 o'clock scotch listening to Carmen, Yurko, and Harry. Now, he did not live up to what we thought he was going to be.
Oh, my God. He won one playoff game.
And Jay and I got into a dark place with each other over my love for Josh McCown. I wanted them to ride the heater. I never thought Josh... I knew that Josh wasn't as talented as Jay, but I wanted to ride the heater. He was hot.
He was
hot. And I
got
ripped for that. And that's when I sort of said, well, if Josh could do it, why can't Jay? But I would not term him what you just termed him, the most overrated.
So he was 52-52 in his career for $136 million.
So were the rest of the Bears on that team. Like this go when Devin Hester's your one. Now, granted, did not live up to what he was supposed to be, but he did not suck.
Would you make that trade again?
Yes.
No shot.
The process was there. He was a 26-year-old guy with one of the best arms in the game who threw for 4,600 yards and was coming off a Pro Bowl. Well, what I would do differently is surround him offensively with the linemen and with wide receivers.
He was a terrible leader in that room. Talk to guys in that room. You do. They despised that dude, a lot of them.
And I would hope he would do that part over, too. That, yes, look, a lot of the faults that you bring up are true. I'm not going to run from it. I protected him for many years and learned, but he does not suck, and he was not the most overrated player. And remember, that record goes to everybody.
It does.
It goes to Jerry Angelo. It goes to Lovey. It goes to Brian Urlacher. It goes to Olin.
Agreed.
It goes to everybody.
Agreed. But I would never make that trade again. All right. 312-332-3776. Phone lines are hopping. You want in? You can ask us anything. Anything. Be right back.
Everybody knows that measuring one's self-worth by number of social media followers is shallow, self-centered, sophomoric, and to be honest, a little bit narcissistic. That's why I'm not even going to mention who has 25,000 more followers on Twitter than the other of our two hosts today. Enjoy your camaraderie of each other's company, boys. It's Cap and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Rolling on here in the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio with Sylvie. I'm Cap. Shay is in the EP chair, and JR, the technical producer, is at the controls. Coffee?
I'm going to get it right one of these days.
In the 8 o'clock hour, we start fining you.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no, you should.
That's a fine.
I'd be all over Cap. JR, like 8 minutes before we had to go downstairs, I was going to the bathroom, and I walked out of the studio. And my stuff was still there because I was coming back. I was going to the bathroom. He thought I was going to the studio. And he pointed to my coffee, my cup of coffee, and he goes, "Coffee? Like, don't forget your coffee."
Yeah, that's him.
I'm like, "Jer, I'm good." But just to hear him say in real time,
yeah, I'm not
in the morning slot, coffee?
Coffee? If not predictable. Yes, thank
don't
you.
Don't forget it.
All right, you want to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's take them all.
Where do you want to go?
You guys, let's go to Peter in Miami.
Hey, Peter, what's up, Sparky?
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. Been waiting for Sylvie for the right time to tell him what I want to say.
Yeah, go ahead. Rip away.
No, Rip, it's all love. I listen to you guys all day. But Sylvie, today is the day you're going to give Cap an apology.
For what?
I will tell you for what. There's the days that I cannot listen to your whole show because I have meetings at that time. But when I get out of work at 5 o'clock, I jump on. It's 4 o'clock over there. There's a couple times I listened to that apology that Cap had the Stones about his awful Trubisky take, and you keep on playing it, and you guys laughing, rightfully so. Today is the day for your apology, for your slurpy Chicago Bulls take a couple months ago that they would play in the Eastern Finals or they would win the championship. Today is your day to your opportunity to apologize to everyone. And they take the tape and make fun.
They owe me an apology. They owe Chicago an apology. They were the number one seed. First of all, I never predicted they would win the championship. I never predicted they would go to the Eastern Conference Finals. I said they would win a round, and I'm paying for it with two bets. So I'm got to pay off my pizza bets. And I did say that I thought it was nuts that anyone wouldn't think that they're a contender, because I thought Zach would come back healthy and they would have a two-headed scoring monster a lot like Boston has with a lot of good role guys.
There's all the slurpage again. You said that they could play in the Eastern Conference Final. This team is not a contender. Zach LaVine, a bona fide slam dunk contender? Come on.
When you're in the first week in February and you have the number one seed in the East, that is a team who should be contending. No one would have thought they would have went, 10 and 20 down the stretch or whatever it was?
Nobody,
I was about to swear.
What?
No one thought they would go that much under 500.
What has the NBA taught us all these years? No one plays defense in the regular season. They start ramping up for the playoffs. In the playoffs, you show what you are. And they did show what they were. They are a very mediocre team. Okay? When they play against the Pelicans and the, I don't know, I've got to throw a couple other.
Pelicans were pretty good down the stretch.
Throw in the Sacramento Kings and a couple bad teams, and you slurp on them saying,
what's with
one
the slurping? I mean, I do like slurpees, though. I will say that, but I know where you're going with the slurpage. Your mind is not in a good place, Peter, when you're throwing at me the slurpage over and over again. So therefore, I will not apologize to you, and I will say the Bulls were wrong, not me.
I love you, Sylvie. You don't need to apologize to me. You need to apologize to Cap. You need to apologize to Cap for making fun of his apology bit, and now it's time for them to make a fun of your. They got to find a tape of where you and you were saying that they were going to go to the Eastern Conference Final.
Right. Peter, have a good day, man.
You too, guys. Love you. Bye.
Here's why I won't apologize to Cap. Because I'm stubborn, number one. And number two, because my point on the Trubisky stuff all the years were that you didn't want Trubisky, but you just loved Ryan Pace, and you believed in Ryan Pace, and therefore you became a Mitch Trubisky fan without ever... I was a fan of the Bulls and thought the Bulls could actually contend. Your love for Trubisky was simply... for your slurpage with Ryan Pace.
Yeah, and it wasn't actually that. Because at the day they drafted him, I'd never met Ryan Pace in my life. That's a fact. I liked that we had a GM, and it turned out to be a bad move, that said, when I woke up that morning, I got to get that guy. That's my guy.
With Mahomes and Deshaun Watson in the other rooms.
Correct. And had he proven out to be right, we'd all be going, wow. Yeah.
Right.
We got a freaking franchise quarterback. And we didn't. He missed. It cost him his career.
Right. But I always loved that you were a fan of Pace, but you never really liked Trubisky, but then you became
I didn't dislike Mitch. I just liked the fact that I remember where I was racing home from TV when the draft started. We're picking third. I'm like, I gotta be home by the third pick. You know the mobile by our house?
Sure.
I'm in the left turn lane there to turn to our complex on Deerfield and Sanders. And all of a sudden
you're giving out all the home information, by the way. You're correct. Getting very detailed
here. Yes. I said, I'm listening to the draft, on our station. And I hear, we have a trade. Chicago Bears have moved up from 3 to 2, and they select Mitchell Trubisky. And I hear Bill Polian go, whoa. That's a great pick. Polian loves it. And then I hear all the Pace stuff where, hey, I was getting calls for my pick. I've since had this discussion with him. He said,
he drove a Toyota. He put the name under James McMahon. We must have him over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Who did it on the big stage against Alabama.
Right. And I know
what... That's what you fell in love with.
I believed in the GM saying, all right, I watched a billion hours of tape on everybody, and that's my guy. He was wrong. He's working for Atlanta in a backup role.
With all the other ex-Bears.
Right. Isn't Phil Emery down there, too?
Phil Emery's there. Half the coaching, Ragone's there. The former running backs coach is there.
Charles London.
Cordero Patterson, obviously, and a bunch of other Bears signed there,
so
too.
So that's what I really liked. And when I asked, can you take me inside how that all went down?
I iced out my coach, the same coach who was on the hot seat, who I needed to develop my new quarterback, but I alienated him by not including him in the process.
Because he didn't trust him.
Well, but then he should have been fired. I mean, you cannot allow in a rookie season your coach that you just alienated to then develop that quarterback the right way.
But the true story is he wanted to fire John after his second year when he was drafting Mitch, and George wouldn't let him.
Well, that's the problem with the Bears.
Exactly.
And that's why whenever someone says George doesn't get involved in football decisions or Ted doesn't get involved in football decisions, it's why that's patently false. And because there are many moves along the way where they said, no, the general manager couldn't be the football guy.
Right.
Because I'm doing something, like whether it's Phil Emery not allowed to fire Lovie, whether it was that you just mentioned. That's why it's wrong.
Phil comes in, I'm firing Lovie. No, you're not. A year later, they do.
That's right.
They're always a day late and a dollar short.
I got the break sign.
All right. We will get to more of your calls. Phone lines are hopping. 312-332-3776. He's Sylvie. I'm Cap. Be right back.
You're listening to a special ESPN 1000 event. Welcome back to Sylvie and Company, only on ESPN Chicago.
Right, Sylvie.
Damn it. All right, Sylvie, that's it. Company, that's it. Break out the money. Let's go. $1.
Yeah. $1 to berniesbookbank.org.
I'm so used to hitting the different button. What? How much?
$1.
It's just the dollar.
Now they're both on, Sylvie.
Here's $5 for Bernie.
There you go. Bernie's Book Bank gets $5. Darren and I talked yesterday.
Darren's
he was
the best.
Here meeting with Keith, our boss. Darren and I are going to lunch late next week. I just did a book. Hoodie and I, Keith, Jess, we handed out books at a school in Dixmoor a couple weeks ago. I literally handed him like $25 in cash from all our fines. Yes.
That's it? Just $25?
I think that's all we had at that point.
Sylvie and Company. ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. Call us with every bad take Cap has ever had. Let him hear it. Someone was on during the break wanting to talk. And they say, why don't you call Cap? Oh, it's Eddie? I was going to say, it's not Eddie on the north side, is it?
No.
I love Eddie on the north side.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. My guy. I like him. I've never met him, but I like him.
Eddie on the north side catching strays this morning. We're going to everybody.
Where am I going here?
You want to go to Eddie and Hoffman Estates? Let's see. Let's attack it head on.
Let's go. Hey, Eddie. What's up,
Sparky? Hey, how's it going, man?
What's up?
Man, I've been listening to ESPN Sports Radio for years. I remember when they first brought you in, brought you back.
Seven years ago.
Like, man, you are a liar, my friend. You were giving us the listeners premature take bets, guaranteeing that Mitch Trubisky was going to be a multi-year Pro Bowl.
Yeah, okay.
And we were going to be like, take that.
Okay.
You pull up the audio, man.
I'm not disputing that fact. I've said a million times, I was dead wrong on Mitch. Dead wrong. Period.
Goldfish.
I owe every single human being, dog, cat, bird, goldfish, and every other creature on God's green earth an apology.
Yes. Lean into it.
I'm leaning into it. I do hope that he goes to Pittsburgh, Eddie, and he kicks ass and he plays great.
He's Mike Glennon in Pittsburgh.
He's going to be Glennon. Tickets going to come in.
He probably will, Eddie, but guess what? I hope that kid balls out and people in this town are like, oh, it was frickin' Nagy. It was all Nagy. I hope it happens.
We know Nagy's bad, though. I mean, but Mitch is not good either.
Do you know?
It's a bad combination.
Eddie, thanks, man. Do you know the story? I know you do. Of Nagy doing the scouting reports for Andy Reid for the 2017 draft.
Yes. They loved Mahomes.
Yes.
And they liked Mitch. And then what was something about Deshaun injury?
He called Mitch great leader, can make all the throws, very athletic, but the ultimate project. He called Patrick Mahomes generational, and he called Deshaun Watson a big-time winner. He's questioning because he had already had an ACL and he had thin wrists and thin ankles.
That's right.
That he would be injury-prone.
Well, look, I mean, we've learned that any sort of project Nagy can't do.
Correct.
Nagy didn't develop anybody. No one developed under maybe Darnell Mooney, but like nothing that Matt Nagy couldn't fit Allen Robinson on the franchise tag into the offense.
So let me ask you this. If Ryan Pace had stayed at three, didn't trade up, and at number three, he drafts Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Would
Patrick Mahomes today be on a $500 million deal?
I would hope so. Everyone calls in and says no, then what? If you call in and you say the Bears never get it right and that Patrick Mahomes would suck if he was with the Bears, I hope you're not a Bears fan anymore.
Right.
Because you are telling us you ultimately believe that nobody, no matter what, will ever be great here.
Correct.
So what are we doing rooting? Like, I would hope that the Bulls were wallowing in no man's land in all the years since Dick Motta years in the mid-70s. They were a team, Michael tells the story, a team that would go to the hotel room, they'd take out the Coke, and they would all party. They had a bunch of guys who had blotter, police blotter, and records. And yet Michael came, and Michael was not surrounded. Now maybe basketball is different, but I would believe yes. And like for anyone who says it's hindsight, or anyone who says, well, the mocks, it's up to the general manager to get it right. And judging a draft is always hindsight.
And that's why I believe Jerry Krause deserves more credit than he gets, because he was a jerk to deal with.
Yes.
He and I did not get along. We buried the hatchet.
No one did.
Less than a year before he died. We cleared the air. Great. But we did not get along. I remember Waddle, your partner, we're at Wrigley Field in a trailer outside, and he asked the most innocuous question. Hey, what do you think of Bryce Drew from Valpo? And Tommy, I'm surprised that you know I don't answer about, you should know, but like, he dresses him down. Tommy took off his headset. He goes, you can finish the interview.
I'm done.
And he left.
Yeah.
And he walked out of the trailer. He would not talk to
him. He said, I thought I had problems with Wani. Now I met Jerry Krause.
Correct. But when Jerry came in, he had to clean out all the cocaine out of there. There was a lot more housekeeping that needed to be done besides just Michael.
He would have, again, gotten more love if he would have just played the game.
Correct.
But he didn't draft Michael. That was a Rod Thorne draft pick.
That's correct. That is correct. 312-332-3776. Jump in. We're taking all your calls. Bring it. We're ready to have fun with you. We also have a segment we do every morning at 8. Today, out of respect for what happened yesterday, we are going to call it Chance, No Chance. Sylvie and I in 2 minutes.